Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Morning, everybody. It is my great, great privilege to accept this position, and thank you to the mayor for having the confidence in me to do it. When I was skipper of the base, I felt that everything I'd done in my career had led me to that point and given me the skill set to do that. And I think everything that I learned on the base and everything I've done to this point in my life has led me here to this point.
Yeah, I would say that's accurate. And I know how you feel, Lucky. Tim Kinsel, of course, the new, although not on the job, I think, for another couple of weeks. But, you know, and you know what? I have to ask the mayor today. I think he has to get approved by council. I don't think he gets the job because a director level and above have to get council approved. I mean, it'll be 7-0. There's not going to be anybody on council be like, no, we don't want him. But I think officially it's not for a couple of weeks, but we'll, you know, like I said, we'll talk with the mayor about this morning. When the news came out, I think PNJ was the first to report this actually on Monday evening, but they were kind of vague about how they knew, you know? So I was like, okay. And said that, DC hadn't gotten back to them and confirmed it. So I immediately texted DC and I'm like, oh, that's pretty good news. He's like, yeah, it's awesome. This is amazing. And, I texted Tim and, congratulations. And, you know, this is a big get for the city. And he's like, stop it. I'm blushing. Because that's how he is. He's funny. But this is a big deal. This is really good. And I had been wondering who would be the city manager. But honestly, not super actively wondering, mostly because, you know, if it had turned out that they had kept Amy on in that position, Amy Miller, who had been the longtime port director and has been a, you know, deputy city administrator and now the interim city administrator since Kara Fiddler left a couple months ago for family related issues. Amy's great. You know what I mean? Like, the city would have been perfectly fine with Amy Miller running the show. And so it's not any kind of knock on her that, you know, DC and Tim, who know each other, you know, going back a ways. Tim was on the transition team for DC. And so, you know, I'm sure they knew each other before that, but, you know, they've known each other for several years at least very well. And, I'm sure they were just kind of talking one day and, you know, they were a little bit vague about who came up with the idea first, but I'm sure in some conversation they've been having over the last couple of months, the both of them kind of looked at each other and thought, you know what? So, obviously Tim's got great experience from his time in the Navy and the Leadership Institute, but I think that he actually said something yesterday that this is one of the reasons I like, and look, we're good friends. I admire Tim quite a bit. I think he's a great choice for the job. Escambia County come November is going to have a change in the board, right? You already know that you're going to have two new commissioners. You might have a third, depending on what happens in District 5 between Josh Roberson, the NPA candidate, and Stephen Berry. That I'll be honest, a lot of people are telling me they're sure that they think Josh is going to win. And I said, I don't know. It's a heavily Republican district. A lot of people who turn out in the general election don't pay attention to politics all that closely. They're showing up to vote for Trump. They're going to vote R down the ticket. I think that probably works against Josh, but I know there's a lot of people who are very aware of the challenges that facing the county, aware of the just overall cloud of disrepute that is hanging over all of the longtime incumbents. It got Jeff Bergosh out of his job. It didn't affect Lumen May. He's unbeatable in District 3. But Stephen Berry, I think, is very, very worried. We'll see. Okay, we'll see what happens. But the point is, you have at least two, possibly three new commissioners, a whole new day in Escambia County. And, County Attorney Allison Rogers, very much embedded with the current status quo commissioners. Wes Moreno, I've known for a long time. I've known Wes as long as I've lived here. Going back to the flood of 2014, I met him working on the Crescent Lake Dam repair. I know Wes a long time. But Wes is also, made choices to very much align himself with and, do kind of whatever the three tell him to do, largely, okay? And I think, you know, the sort of the rumor is that there's a lot of people think that he might not have a job again come, you know, in November. And so, because they're going to want to look for somebody else. And who would that somebody else be? And anyway, this is my long way of getting at the, you know, and I've... Eric Gilmore is somebody that a lot of people kind of rumor around, like maybe Eric. And, you know, I don't think Eric wants to do anything but run public safety. I think he's perfectly happy where he is. You know, would it be Chips Kirschenfeld? Would it be who would it be? Well, I mean, if you open up the, God, who could we wish for? Prior to Monday, you might have said, well, is Tim Kinsel available to run the county? You know, because he would certainly have the skill set. I mean, he would be a very capable administrator based on what he did at the base. Yeah, but now he's off the playing field. You know, that piece has been snatched up, right? So, and I do not want to speak for him. We're actually going to have Tim on the show tomorrow. I don't want to speak on his behalf, but I'm going to feel fairly comfortable saying that I doubt Lucky would look with great joy on the idea of, after just a couple of months of working at the city, jumping over to county to help out. I think he's going to be pretty happy working at the city. But I did appreciate what he said yesterday.
Bad things are going to happen. They're going to happen while we're here. I'm not getting paid in this position for when the sun shines. It's also for those difficult days. And I think I bring a pretty unique perspective to that.
Yeah. As we've talked, he and I have talked many times, you know, he took over and, you know, the basically he inherited, not inherited, not, it's not like, you know, Chris Martin did anything wrong, the former base commander, just that, you know, what happened when Lucky was the base commander is he had a terrorist attack. He had the base get shut down because of the terrorist attack, which meant that we had all kinds of issues with regards to the museum and the lighthouse and public perception of the base as a response to the base being shut down and the access to the Blue Angels. Remember when you couldn't go to the museum for a long time? Okay. And these are not decisions that Tim made. These are, you know, the Big Navy said, no, right? And it took a lot of time before we got access to the base again. Then COVID hit, right? That was December of 2019 was the terrorist attack. Then March of 2020 was COVID. So now you've got a basically a publicly closed base that we have been used to being open that is also going through all the challenges that came with COVID and the military and training in COVID and I mean, just all of that. And then in September, anybody remember what happened in September of 2020? Anybody remember Hurricane Sally, which did $500 million damage to the base? I mean, Lucky had it easy. No, really bad things happened, and he had to deal with all of that and dealt with it very, very, very well, you know, challenging circumstances. So, you know, how do you deal with bad stuff when it happens? Well, he's got a story or two he could tell you about that. You know, and, you know, kind of the why of he took the job, you know, he's pretty straightforward about this.
My job is to, my loyalty lies with the people of Pensacola, people of the city. And the best way for me to serve the people of Pensacola is to enact their elected representative's vision. And I fully believe in our mayor. I fully believe in everything that he's doing. And there was something about it that just spoke to me. And when the mayor asks, you know, when the president asks somebody to serve in his cabinet, the right answer is yes. And when the mayor asks to serve in a role like this to help him move the city forward, there was no other answer but yes.
So he's very interesting idea that the best way to serve the people of the city of Pensacola is by enacting the will of the people of the person that they've elected or the people they've elected. That's a really thoughtful answer, which also explains, you know, we've all heard the idea that when the president asks, you know, you do. If the president says please, you say yes, right? And but when you think about why that would be the case, you know, even I, as a political scientist and philosopher, I'd never quite thought of it that way, that saying yes to the president is a way of saying yes to the people because the people put him in power, or saying yes to the mayor as a, like, how do I serve this city? Well, you serve the city by serving the person or the council that the people have elected to run the city. I mean, that's, I just, you know, I had never thought of it that way. And I thought that was a very interesting way of saying it. I also say, I'm going to get angry texts from a couple of people about this. I just know it, but also hear me out. Okay. What was his comparison? He said, "You, when the mayor asks you to serve, you say yes. Just like when the president asks you to serve, you say yes." What do you think are D.C.'s ultimate political ambitions? If you had to guess, does D.C. want to be the mayor and then go back to private business or sports reporting? I mean, maybe. Yeah, I mean, maybe. But if I say, you know, at one time, any president was in the state house or on a city council or a mayor or, right? Everybody starts somewhere. And based on age, based on just general perspective, popularity, although I know for some things he's definitely not, okay? Don't talk about parking. I get it. Because I have talked about parking many times. But D.C. Reeves gets a very high level of respect from people. A lot of people, by the way, who didn't like the idea that they felt like D.C. was being anointed for the job. You know, they kind of, there were some people who resented that. I think a lot of those people even have been turned around by watching kind of the decisions he's made and the approaches he's taken towards the administration and the adult, very adult view of, you know, hey, look, this is what infrastructure costs to maintain. Why do we keep building more and not maintaining what we've got? We probably need to shut down even some of what we got because it's not in good shape, right? Okay, unpopular decisions, but good ones, necessary ones. Anyway, I don't think it's all that far of a stretch to think that D.C. Reeves, when he is done with being the mayor, might want to be the governor, the CFO, then the governor, might want to run for state senate, might not like the legislative aspect, might want the executive aspect because he's used to that, right? It's entirely plausible that he might run for statewide office when he's done being the mayor, right? That's not even a stretch to imagine. Okay, so let's say he runs for, CFO. Let's say he serves as CFO for a couple of terms, and then he runs for governor. Then he gets elected as governor. Let's imagine, right? And if you're a governor of the third largest state in the country, you're in a fairly healthy position to be eyeballing the presidency, right? I mean, it's not that big of a stretch. So if... can you imagine a day, maybe, in 12 or 16 years? I guess I have to do the math on this. But yeah, 12 or 16 years, maybe 20 years, when you're talking about candidate for president D.C. Reeves. You said, well, it's way premature for that. Is it? Okay, and the only reason I bring this up, okay, every president needs a chief of staff. Do you think if, hypothetically, a decade or two down the road and a lot of between here and there, candidate D.C. Reeves for the president of the United States or president-elect D.C. Reeves, I mean, you know, needs a chief of staff. Can you name somebody you think would better fit that role than Tim Kinsella? Because honest to God, that was my thought as soon as I heard it. I was like, because I had been kind of mulling this idea in the back of my head about DC's future, right? And I thought, oh, that's a very nice pick, Mr. President-elect. I mean, put a good team around you. You think that Jim Reeves has never thought about the possibility that his son might become president? You think that Quint Studer has never thought about the possibility that his protege might become president? I mean, you may not have, right? I guarantee you they have. I guarantee it. 437-1620. So, yeah, I have a... It's an interesting way to think about all of this, you know? Now, I don't think that, you know... I've always wondered, what do eventual presidential candidates do in their 30s? Or he's 40, right? How do they think about their decisions? What are they, you know... Because I know when I was, you know, 25 and 30, I was not thinking about becoming president. You know, I was not thinking about becoming anything, particularly. But some people are sort of raised with a certain level of ambition and capability. And how do they think about their future? Well, you know, 437-1620. I'm Andrew McKay.
Sweet chocolate reward. Sweet chocolate reward.
This is not just the sound of someone picking up a sweet treat at Walgreens. This is the sound of someone picking up a sweet treat right after receiving all their vaccines in one trip. This is the sound of treating yourself, because you protected yourself.
Stop by or schedule both your flu and COVID-19 vaccines today and grab yourself a sweet treat while you're at it. Vaccine subject to availability. State, age, and health-related restrictions may apply.
Football season's here, so let All Season Service Network tackle your HVAC issues, and you can focus on enjoying the game. All Season Service Network's special financing offer requires zero down on American Standard heating and air conditioning systems. Subject to credit approval, see dealer for details. And with 24/7 emergency service, you never have to burn up. All Season Service Network, keeping your home comfortable for the past 50 years and counting, so you never have to miss a moment of the game. Call now or visit online, allseasonservicenet.com.
Our daughter, Jessie, loves playing detective.
But since we discovered she has sensitive skin, we've been playing detective, too.
We thought the problem was our puppy.
But it was actually our old detergent. So we switched to Tide Free and Gentle.
Tide Free and Gentle has no dyes or perfumes, so it's gentle on her skin.
If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Free and Gentle. This back-to-school season, Tide and Downy are giving back with $1.5 million in scholarships. Enter to win. No purchase necessary. US/DC 17+. End September 30th. Rules. Tide.com/scholarship/official rules.
When you listen to News Radio 92.3 on Saturdays, you get the Garden Line Encore at 9. At Home with Gary Sullivan at 10. Swan Capital at 1. Let's Go Pensacola at 4.
I never did introduce myself. Del Griffith, American Light and Fixture, Director of Sales, Shower Curtain Ring Division.
Good morning, 527 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Oh, happy birthday to News Radio. 17 years on the air. Is that right? 17 years? Check my notes real quick. 2007. That's right. 17 years on the air. So pretty good. Pretty good. That means I have done the morning show. Well, I guess this would have been true last year. I would have done it now more than half. But, you know, more than half. God, that's – I've never lived in a place for 10 years. My whole life. Seven was the longest we'd ever lived anywhere. Actually, it's kind of a funny story about that. I'll tell you in a second. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, the FBI and U.S. Postal Service are investigating mail containing a white powder sent to election offices in at least 17 states. A law enforcement source tells ABC that at this point, none of those packages are believed to have been hazardous, but some offices were evacuated because of the scare. Sean Diddy Combs was denied bail. He'll remain detained in connection to the federal criminal case. Combs did plead not guilty in New York yesterday after a grand jury indicted him on sex trafficking and racketeering charges. And the United Auto Workers Union planning to hold a strike authorization vote against Stellantis. UAW President Sean Fain says that the automaker is not meeting the agreements of the contract that was approved last year.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. I mentioned that we've never lived anywhere longer than 7 years. It's kind of a weird thing because I'd always perceived myself as living like in Detroit or Chicago longer than that, and it turned out not to be true. We had lived in St. Louis for 6 years and 8 months, and then we lived in Phoenix for 6 years and 8 months. And so when summer of 2020 rolled around and I had lived here for 6 years and 8 months. I mean, I'm not a numerology guy or anything like that, but both my wife and I are like, well, let's see how this goes, you know? So I came and went, and 8 years, 9 years, and 10 years came and went. We're like, okay, so we're just here. It's good. And we're not planning to leave. Sometimes people ask me that. Are you going to leave? Are you going to go to some bigger market? I'm like, no, I like it here. This is fun. You know, and plus, I don't want to start over. You'd have to start over learning everything from scratch in some other market, and I have no interest in that. And, you know, our kids are in school here. We love our house here. We're happy here. And, you know, we've turned a couple of corners recently on just how things are working in this area. So, no, nothing like that. Have no fear. But it is interesting. I sometimes think about that. 10 years in a place, it's a long time for me. So I'm thrilled. Love it. 437-1620. What else do we have going on? Seafood Festival is coming up. Always a good time. September 27th through the 29th. More than 150 artists and craftsmen are going to be here. And downtown Pensacola, of course, that's always a good time. You've also got the Dragon Boat Festival. Enter a team or become a sponsor now. If you want to row for a day and be sore as for a long time thereafter. It's a lot of work, but it's also a lot of fun. That is coming up on October the 12th, the 10th annual. You can find out, oh, that's 10 years. Okay, see. Pensacon started the year that I was here. Dragon Boat Festival started the year that we came here. So a lot of things are celebrating their 10th anniversary. Newsradio923.com for more information. And Shredathon. This is always a big event. Up to 50 pounds of documents at the fairgrounds on October the 5th, Saturday morning, 8 to 11.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. The militant group Hezbollah says there will be retaliation against Israel for booby-trapping pagers, killing at least 12 people, injuring more than 2,800 in explosions, mostly in Lebanon.
According to reports, it was Hezbollah chief Hassan Nasrallah himself who ordered the use of pagers because he thought Israel would have an easier time tracking and eavesdropping on smartphones. Security experts say the explosion is much more powerful than what an exploding battery could do. So at some point, the shipment of pagers that went to Hezbollah had to be sabotaged. An explosive charge and a switch was installed in each device.
Fox's Mike Tobin. The Federal Reserve Bank is expected to announce an interest rate cut today.
The Fed first embarked on its aggressive hiking campaign in March of 2022. The big debate is whether it will shave its benchmark rate, currently at a two-decade high, by a traditional quarter percentage point or half a point.
Fox's Hillary Barsky. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3, 73 degrees. It is partly cloudy in Pensacola this morning. The EMR Southern Recycling Facility on South Merrick Street reportedly caught on fire again last night. Channel 3 says firefighters were on scene battling that last night. Right now, no word on the severity of the fire, but the last fire at that facility was in August of last year. That one took firefighters about a day to put out. We'll let you know when we learn any more about that today. The next career move for former NAS Pensacola commander Tim Kinsella will be the city of Pensacola. He's reportedly now accepted that job as the new city administrator. He publicly accepted it yesterday at the mayor's press conference.
My whole career has been in public service. I think it's what gets me out of bed in the morning. The knowledge that whatever I do is for the betterment of our community. And really, how often do you get a chance to help to forge the community that you're raising your children in? That's a pretty special thing. So, as I said, this is all about the people, and it's what gets me up in the morning. It's what excites me.
Kinsella credited his friendship with Mayor D.C. Reeves for making this happen and said he's got a lot to learn about how the city runs, but he says he knows people, and that's ultimately what the job is about. Kinsella's got 33 years of leadership experience in the U.S. Navy and also helped to form UWF's Center for Leadership. He also helped run Mayor Reeves' transition team when he took office in 2022. Well, there has been a lot of vague online threats against area schools lately. In Escambia County, three students have been arrested after separate incidents in the last week.
And we're just trying to get people to understand. Talk to your kids. If you as a parent decide that your elementary or middle school student can operate on social media platforms, I think that you owe it to them to tell them, first of all, the dangers of being on those platforms, and secondly, the repercussions of making threats or passing along threats, like this.
Sheriff Chip Simmons, and he says the threats disrupt schools and law enforcement agencies' operations. He says there's nothing funny about making a school shooting threat, and arrests will be made. Just over the last week in Escambia County, a 15-year-old, 12-year-old, and an 11-year-old have all been arrested after threats were made. The Secret Service being asked to provide more security for Donald Trump. Florida Senators Marco Rubio and Rick Scott joining other colleagues and sending a letter yesterday to Secret Service Director Ronald Rowe. They're calling on Rowe to provide Trump with the same level of security that President Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris get. In the letter, the senators also ask why the Secret Service didn't allocate sufficient resources to Trump's security detail. And a child is accused of threatening a mass shooting at a school in Pinellas County now as well. 11-year-old Jamian Wade arrested at Lakeside Christian School in Clearwater this week. The sheriff's office said that incident stemmed from a threatening text message. An Orlando rapper celebrating his freedom, Javari Walker, raps under the name Hot Boy. He was released from jail last week. Prosecutors dropped a racketeering charge against him in exchange. He pled guilty to a conspiracy charge. He was sentenced to time served last Wednesday. It is 5:35 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast this morning.
We will have more sunshine today with just a small chance of rain, 20% overall, otherwise mostly sunny skies. High today near 85 degrees, low overnight near 74. For Thursday, mostly sunny skies, high near 87. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 73. Keeping the sunny forecast around for Friday with a high near 90. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And right now, 73 in Pensacola, 73 in Gulf Breeze, 72 in Milton. Your next news. At 6 o'clock, we've got breaking news. Anytime it happens, I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Wall Street is eagerly awaiting the results of the Federal Reserve's two-day meeting that concludes later today. Experts are almost certain the central bank will cut interest rates. The only question that remains is by how much. CME Group Watch Tools shows traders pricing a 63% chance of a 50 basis point cut. Treasury yields were little changed this morning as all eyes are on the Federal Reserve's interest rate decision expected later today. The yield on the 10-year Treasury was up by less than one basis point to 3.6474%. Best Buy, Target, and other retailers are already working to extend the ever-important holiday retail season. Target will host its first sales event next month and has announced it will hire 100,000 seasonal workers. Spending during the holidays is projected to increase by the smallest increment in the past few years. Futures are slightly higher ahead of the conclusion of the Federal Reserve's policy meeting later today. That's Your Money Now.
At the height of hurricane season, are you sure your data is backed up? I'm Nathan with Data Revolution, and this is your cybersecurity tip of the month. Hurricanes can cause severe damage to buildings and IT infrastructure. Test your backups now to ensure your access in an emergency. Businesses along the Gulf Coast trust Data Revolution for their cybersecurity and communications needs. Visit datarevs.com for more information.
Florida State. How you do it is equally as important.
Mike Norvell and Florida State host the California Golden Bears this Saturday for a primetime ACC matchup on the Seminole Sports Network.
California versus FSU at 4 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Brought to you by Pensacola Hardware, All Season Service Network, A1 Auto Diesel Repair, DeFranco Gas, and Calvert's in the Heights.
Florida State.
News Radio Pensacola is your trusted source for hurricane coverage. We have a team of experienced broadcast experts who are dedicated to keeping you informed about the latest weather conditions and forecasts. We'll provide you with up-to-the-minute updates on any developing storms, as well as safety tips and information on how to prepare for a hurricane. So for the latest hurricane coverage, stay tuned to News Radio Pensacola on AM 1620, 92.3, 95.3, and on HD Radio at 98.7. We'll keep you safe. It's that time of year again, hurricane season. News Radio 92.3 provides informative, local, and dependable coverage to make sure you're informed of any major storms coming to our area. Before a storm, we keep you informed of the storm's track, where food and gas shortages occur, and where you can get sandbags. During the storm, we stay on the air to let you know where the storm is headed, where power outages occur, road closures, and other storm warnings. Then after the storm, we get you the information to help you recover from the storm and help your neighbors. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable hurricane headquarters.
Good morning, 5:39 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. And yesterday, we had a chance to talk to Sheriff Chip Simmons. We were kind of in the middle of dealing with Santa Rosa County and a couple of, scare threats about a couple of schools. And, of course, the ones in Escambia County. We talked about all that with him. Sheriff, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How y'all doing?
We're doing great. We have so much to talk about. Let's start with the news that is not in your county today, but in Santa Rosa County. We're dealing with what had been last night one and is apparently now two social media threats against schools. And the only reason we have been reporting this morning is because the sheriff's office wanted us to let you know that there's going to be enhanced law enforcement at Hobbs Middle and at Milton High School. Also emphatic that they are protecting your children. And we talked to Sheriff Johnson about this yesterday. And okay. But also I want you to be informed. Your parents, you should, you know, to some degree know. But you and I have talked about school threats. And of course we had one last week on Friday. We had school threats and social media, and you guys had to deal with this, right?
We had one Friday. We had two more yesterday. We just put a post out last night that we made two arrests. One was a 12-year-old and one's a 15-year-old for making these school threats. And we're just trying to get people to understand, talk to your kids. If you as a parent decide that your elementary or middle school student, can operate on social media platforms, I think that you owe it to them to tell them, first of all, the dangers of being on those platforms, and secondly, the repercussions of making threats or passing along threats, like this, because we're taking it serious. Enough is enough. You're disrupting schools. You're disrupting our law enforcement agencies. These are not simple jokes or things like that. There's nothing funny about this. So I would hope that you as a parent, even if you think that your children are not on social media platforms, I think we should remind them to explain this to them, and so they understand that these threats are taken very serious and they're criminal, and we are arresting them. Again, enough is enough.
And in this case, at least I know the homeschooled child was on Snapchat. Was the 12-year-old from MacArthur, was that also Snapchat?
It was on
Snapchat.
Okay,
both Snapchat.
Well.
And look, I know this isn't the heart of the issue, but I have been saying for years that kids should not have social media. I mean, minors shouldn't have social media. I don't even think your kids should usually have phones. Our kids didn't get phones that they had service on until they were, basically going to college, but social media in particular, if they don't have it, they can't misuse it. And they do misuse it so often, right?
Well, yeah. And there's a couple things here. Santa Rosa County is dealing with it this morning, and we dealt with it for a few days over the last couple of days. We take the school safety very serious.
Yeah.
We have a deputy or a guardian in every school. And when we have any threat at all, we act immediately and we take it very serious. Most of these are handled overnight, not even at the school. The one at MacArthur, by the time school started, the child was already in the principal's office, if you will. And we were already investigating that. I know there was a question, well, how come there was not increased police presence at MacArthur? It had already been taken care of. There was already a child in custody, but we can no longer just sit back and say, oh, it's just a kid being a kid, because again, this is disruptive and we don't know which ones of these are real. We had a 14-year-old shoot up a school. So we take them all very serious. And as a parent, I would hope that our law enforcement agency would take this seriously. And we absolutely do.
So I'm a parent, let's say, I am a parent, I'm a parent and I see on social media, because every parent sees everything on social media eventually, these things spread like wildfire, that there's some threat dealing with my kid's school. Do I bring my kid to school or do I stay home? How do I know the difference? Because my general answer is, I know you guys have it. Okay. My kids are safe and we pray and, okay. But when would the time be to keep them home?
Well, I think there's, again, as I mentioned, we take these things serious. So we immediately send a supervisor out to a school. We start to evaluate these threats. Rest assured, if we think that there's any validity to a threat at all, any credibility whatsoever, we will have more deputies up there than teachers. I'll be up there myself. We will be up at a school if we think that there's someone going to come and place a child or a teacher, a member of the staff in any kind of danger. So I think that what we try to do is we work with the school district very well. I've been on the phone probably four times, probably 10 times over the last couple of days with our superintendent. We talk about these things all the time, whether it's high school football safety or whether it's the threats that we have. So we have a great communication with our school district, and we're always aware of what the other one's doing. So we're all on the same page here. So I guess my point is that if we think there's any credibility to it, you will have a not just an increased police presence, you will have cops everywhere.
Yeah.
And then everyone will wonder what the cops are doing, which is fine.
One last follow-up on this subject. I know you said it. In Santa Rosa, every school has an SRO. In Escambia, every school has an SRO or a guardian or multiple. There are high schools, I think, are multiple.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. Somebody might ask, but is a guardian enough? Do we need to have an SRO, a actual deputized sheriff or PPD in every school?
Well, and I'll be consistent with what I've said over the past years. I think that a sworn law enforcement officer with a police radio and a marked cruiser car with arrest power should be at every school, every elementary, every middle, every high school. That's you have to be able to afford those things, and you have to make those decisions. So we train the guardians, and the guardian training is pretty extensive. So I feel like it's certainly a step in the right direction. Ultimately, I would like to see deputies in every school or Pensacola police officers in every school. But until then, I think the guardians are that they do a really good job. They have done a really good job. We've been working with them throughout because some of these complaints or these threats come from an elementary school. So I think they do a really good job. Yeah, I just want to remind everyone there's a House Bill 3, I believe it was. It was just passed, and it's going to mean kids under 14, they cannot create social media accounts. And for 14 and 15-year-olds, parental consent is required to open an account. So a lot of the law, and this goes into effect January the 1st, a lot of this law is aimed at the platforms themselves, and they should have these age verification, third-party verification type things. So I just want to remind parents that on January the 1st, their kids, 14 years and under, shouldn't be able to open accounts. Now, it doesn't mean they won't have access to accounts.
Right.
If you're a parent and you decide, again, that your child is okay to be on these social media platforms, then that's up to you to make sure that they understand the dangers.
I'll just say it this way, my own opinion, right? Every single person who can open a social media account means that every single person has the power to become a TV station and a newspaper. And I just don't think that every single minor in the country should be able to own and operate a TV station and a newspaper. There's a reason that we give those licenses out carefully, and this is part of. Anyway, I won't ask you to respond to that.
Well, there's hope that there's some vetting on the information.
That's it. That's exactly right. And, unless you think that every kid ought to have a TV station, and I do not. So a couple other things.
I don't think every TV station should have a TV station.
Fair enough. I can't disagree with you about that. Okay, so always weird stories. Randall Laws, he's renting like a shed or something to a couple, and then they leave, and he's got a past conviction for rape, right? So he's a sex offender, and is what the reporting is. And then people show up at his house that night, and what happens? This is bad.
Yeah, well, apparently this couple comes to him earlier in the day, have a conversation. He says, yeah, you can stay in this area of his property. They leave. And in the meantime, he goes to get a hunting rifle from his home. And he's sitting in the garage, I'm assuming with the door open. And he's got this hunting rifle, and he sees these people. Meanwhile, they're around the front, and she's looking through a bag for the key that he had given her for the lock of the gate. And as she's doing this, she gets shot in the face and ends up getting killed. And we arrested him for homicide.
But his explanation,
well,
he claims that people come to his property and harass him because he's on the sex offender list, and he got sick and tired of it. And he was, but you just, somebody's trespassing, you can't shoot them anyway without a warning, without anything. You've got to be threatened, right? And he said he didn't feel threatened.
There's a lot wrong here with any statements. And I can't legally go over statements or admissions that people give. I can simply tell you that he gave them a key earlier. And then whenever they tried to use that key, they were shot from a distance. So as you mentioned, there was no threat to him at all. And he ended up taking someone's life. So he's going to have to answer for that.
Crazy. Just a horrible story. You had a shooting involving a man and a brother in Cantonment on Saturday afternoon on Quintet Road or near Quintet Road. Is that right?
Yeah, there was a disturbance, two brothers involved, and I think a parent was involved. Then one of the brothers ended up shooting the other brother in the abdomen. We looked at it and see if it was perhaps, trying to protect someone else. But there was no danger at the time. The fight took place, and then sometime later, the shooting took place. So there was not an active fight at the time of the shooting, the shooting took place, because that's one of the things that we ask for. Is reasonable to believe that someone's life was in danger? We talk about that all the time. In this particular situation, the fight had ended, and then he went and got the gun and ended up shooting his brother in the abdomen. So we charged him with the attempted homicide.
And another one that was in the category of maybe it's more of a justified is a woman who hired a couple of people to help clean her house, right?
Yeah.
Where was this one?
Up in the Cantonment area.
Okay, all right.
I don't recall exactly the road, but there's a lady trying to clean up a house that she's trying to get ready for to buy or rent or whatever. And so she hires two men to help her out. And while they're helping her out, they decide they're going to rob her, grabbed a firearm, and then they try to take her her purse and try to rob her with a firearm. She grabs a handgun from her purse and starts shooting at them. They scurry off. And as, I guess karma, we get a call that there's an individual at the hospital with a shot up foot, and we think, wait a minute, this seems like it could be,
could be related.
A bad guy.
Yeah.
We go there. Sure enough, he's one of the guys responsible, and we end up getting the other guy responsible as well. So good for her for being able to protect herself. I'm glad she wasn't, victimized further than, what she was. And she
Robert gets the bullet. I mean, seems like to me.
Here's the thing. Bravo.
Yeah. That's why you have a gun for self-protection, especially when people decide to commit crimes against you in your own home. Did want to talk just a little bit about the second now assassination attempt against President Trump. Of course, you're well aware of this, and you and I've talked extensively about the first one. Thoughts? I mean, just so you know, because I've been talking about this morning, is I have so many questions that are unanswered at this point.
There are a lot of questions involving this.
Everything from how they're shooting at a guy in the forest and they can't even see him, how he gets this close to the president, what kind of gun, ceramic plates, how does he wait 10, 12 hours and know that he's coming, all of that.
How did he get here? He's not even from Florida, as I understand it. There are a lot of questions. I can tell you that when we look at officer-involved shootings or we look at crimes, we investigate everything. Okay, nothing's off the table, mm-hmm. if you will. And while my initial question is, how did he even know they're going to be there? That's the first question. So clearly, whenever they just start to debrief this, they're going to say, hey, Secret Service, who knew this?
Right.
Who knew? How did we get – either we have a leak or there's a problem here, you know, and –
When was the decision made to go golfing? Because apparently it was pretty impromptu.
Well, I would assume that Trump's immediate team, his close-knit team, maybe Donald Trump himself would say, hey, he would answer that question. Not only he would know.
Mm-hmm.
I decided to spur of the moment to get there. And then that's kind of difficult. You can't blame anyone for leaking that type of information if no one knew about it, even his own entourage.
Right.
Because I talked to a lot of Secret Service agents over the years, and sometimes they would either complain about one of their protectees that decides to just go shopping,
right,
or go to a Burger King or wherever.
Michelle Obama goes to Target.
And
right.
They make things a lot more difficult for them because no one knows. You just follow them and hopefully you can get ahead. If that's the case, how long had the guy been there waiting to do this? I think it's for Donald Trump not to have full presidential protection. In fact, I would even say more than that. He has now been targeted twice.
Right.
And you know that he has a propensity for these large crowds and to go golfing and all that sort of thing. I think that for him not to have full presidential protection plus is just outlandish right at this point.
Yeah. I mean, every other threat is kind of a theoretical unless they have evidence of somebody. You know for a fact that the threat against Trump is huge, and now it's been tried twice. There's no justification for anything other than maximum protection.
Probably the most protection that we've ever seen from a presidential candidate or from a president.
Right.
Because of he's a former president, and there's only two people running now. We're 2 months out from the election, and he's had not one but two assassination attempts. I think you've got to get off your butt and do something about that.
Agreed. Sheriff Chip Simmons, Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons, as always, sir, thank you so much for the time, and we'll look forward to talking again next week.
You bet. Take care.
5:53 here on News Radio 92.3. Well, the good news is we have the super competent administrative dynamic duo of Kamala Harris and Joe Biden running the show, so I'm sure it'll all get fixed. It'll all be fine. God. Oh, man, that's the problem, right? By the way, just so you know, the school shooting threats that I talked about with the sheriff, that was yesterday. Okay, that's not today. That was yesterday. So if you heard that and you're like, that was yesterday. Okay, and it all turned out to be nothing, which is, you know, obviously good news. Somebody had asked the question, are guardians deputies? They're not. The guardians are not deputies, but they do carry guns. People, are they armed? Yes. That's actually why you have the guardian program, is to put armed guards in the school who are trained by the sheriff's department in order to be able to safely and properly handle those guns. But they do not have arrest powers like the deputies would have. Just so if you're wondering about that, in Escambia County, they wear the yellow shirts. Okay. Whereas obviously the deputies wore the green uniforms. 554 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you're in the need for that next vehicle, Frontier Motors has got it. Or if they don't have it, they can go find it. You know, one of the things they do is if you know what you're looking for, they'll go looking for it for you. You know, because maybe they don't have exactly what you want. Like, I know our experience at Frontier was we literally went there because they had a car nobody else had that we wanted to test drive that we were not going to buy, that we wound up buying because we couldn't say no to the price and the deal. It was too good. But you may go looking and decide that you want a color they don't have. Or you might want a certain trim package that they don't have on some vehicle after you've driven five or six and you decide, well, that's what I want, but I want one that looks like this. They'll go looking for you. They go to car auctions all the time. They, you know, buy cars from people all the time, so they can do that for you. It's kind of like the opposite of consignment. Like, you can have them sell your car for you, but you can also send them on a mission, go looking for you to buy a car, because they'll do that, no worries. And they're pretty good at it, and they'll make sure that it's a good car, and they'll stand behind it after they sell it to you, because that's what they do, right? So, you know, and by the way, we don't talk about it a lot, but they are a great place to sell your used vehicle, especially if it's relatively new, good condition, low miles. You know, the kind of cars that they sell, they would love to buy from you, and if you're thinking about upgrading, you know, and it's only a couple of years old, well, you know, sell it to Frontier. 15 minutes is all it takes to figure out what a price is. And if you think they can do better and they don't want to pay you outright for it, they'll consignment sell it for you at the price you want. So, you know, lots of options whether you're buying or selling. Frontier Motors has been serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, right behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services. Advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
This message is sponsored by the Florida A&M University Medical Marijuana Education and Research Initiative, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Mary on Demand is live. Start your marijuana education journey today and learn more with Mary on Demand. Take the self-guided education series at your own pace. You'll decide what you'd like to learn and when. Visit mary.famu.edu to learn more. That's mmeri.famu.edu. Mary, educate, learn, talk.
Are you a business owner? Do you love sports? I bet your audience does too. What if I told you I could help you reach your audience while they are at a sporting event? Hi, I'm Lexi with ADX Digital, and I can help you connect with your audience. Call 850-262-6000 and build a digital campaign with me today. ADX Digital is locally owned and part of the ADX Communications family, inclusive of Cat Country 98.7, News Radio 92.3, ESPN Pensacola 99.1, and Pensacola's Playlist 94.5.
Don't wait until it's too late. Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the latest hurricane coverage on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
These are not spirit fingers. These are spirit fingers. And these are gold.
Maybe not the great American Oscar-winning movie of all time. Bring It On is entertaining. I'll put it that way. David Wayne in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, Google is reportedly working on satellite technology to improve the detection of wildfires. They're investing in artificial intelligence-powered enhancements to their camera network, which apparently would allow users to see fire activity on Google Maps. The company spending $13 million to improve their satellite imaging capabilities for that. Miami Dolphins star quarterback Tua
Tagovailoa.
Boy, every time I can't say that. Reportedly being placed now on the injured reserve. He suffered a concussion in their loss to the Buffalo Bills on Thursday.
He's a bit concussion-prone, yeah.
Yeah, fourth diagnosed concussion.
Terrible. I mean, it's a rough game, and, you know, he's gotten some really unlucky hits, absolutely. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Meanwhile, if Google is developing a Find Your Forest Fire app, I wonder, or a version, I wonder if they'll have a Find My About to Explode pager for terrorist networks around the world.
You're listening to News Radio.